There are definitely concerns. I think overall there is a number of parts of the pact that I would welcome, but it absolutely, I mean, when implementing that at a national level, and that would be 2026 in Ireland, that the pact will be implemented here in Ireland, say, we need to make sure that it's been implemented fairly and with full recognition and cognizance of people's rights. In terms of detention centres, I suppose that's quite a broad piece, in that you could either detain people at the border in kind of prison-like conditions, or it could be just, you know, direct provision centres where people are, you know, expected to remain for say the 12 weeks of processing. So in Ireland, I don't think there's been any clarity from the government at this stage of how that's going to work. But again, I think we need strong voices to ensure that, you know, everything is done fairly, respecting people's rights, but we also 100% need to improve our international protection system here. An awful lot of what is in the pact that it's sort of promising to improve things in Ireland, it could have been done years ago. And I think a lot of people have been saying that, you know, in terms of the speed of processing of international application cases, it is far too slow. It's basically, you know, the people are not being processed effectively in the system. And I've worked in this area for years, and in 2019 even, people were waiting 3-4 years for decisions. And this was much long before the kind of recent inflow of migration.
One of the other candidates in the Ireland South constituency, the Clare Independent TD, Michael McNamara, when we spoke to him about this, he mentioned the different elements within the pact, and his view is that the government is conflating the laws within the pact rather than actually acknowledging they can be voted on separately. Would you agree with that?
I don't even think they need to be voted on. I mean, in terms of the pact, if you mean the kind of the obligations to process cases, say, within the 6-month time frame.
The different laws within the pact, and the government's view is that that we have to vote for these, the country has to vote for these, not as individuals, but the government to vote for these as one, rather than these can be taken as separate issues. And that brings up the broader point of, which we'll get onto in a moment, of whether there should be a referendum on this.
Well, I suppose in terms of a referendum, the Minister for Justice, I mean, in the Constitution, the state has the power over immigration procedures. And so there doesn't necessarily need to be a referendum in that sense. But each of the individual parts of the pact, I mean, I suppose they can be voted on separately, and there are certain things that Ireland is opting out of. I don't know if a referendum is needed on that.
Do you think, though, you know, like, there's certainly the rural independents and others feel that the people should have their say on this, on the issue of migration? We certainly hear certain people be more vocal about it.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. I know people are vocal and people are worried. And I suppose in terms of a referendum, I just don't know what legally could be done, because, I mean, our constitution states that the government has full control of our immigration. Now, obviously, with the international protection system, we have other obligations that are outside of our constitution, such as United Nations Convention on the Rights of Refugees, the European Convention on Human Rights. All of these are conventions that Ireland has ratified. We don't really have the scope, even in a referendum, to go outside of those. I mean, in order to be a member of the European Union, you also have to be a signatory to the European Convention on Human Rights. You have to. It's one of the obligations. So, you know, a referendum, you know, would mean that if we wanted to leave the European Convention on Human Rights, it would have massive repercussions elsewhere.
I suppose, Susan, one of the criticisms of the European Union is that it's overarching, that it has an overbearing influence on member states, that we've handed over too much sovereignty, and people also feel that while it's overarching, it doesn't listen to have any sort of dialogue with individual people on the street in these countries. Is this an example here with the migration pact, where individuals certainly within this country would like to have a say in it, but it's a case of, no, just accept all of this?
You see, I believe that an awful lot of this is an issue people have with our national government, and it isn't really relevant to the European Union. What we have done in this country is, I suppose, our International Protection Office is understaffed. They're not able to make decisions quickly. We have no deportation system left, really. We don't have Gardaí to enforce deportation either, because, as you know, there hasn't been enough recruitment in the Gardaí, and they are the ones responsible for dealing with all of this. So
does that mean if we even, you know, we agree to be part of the Migration and Asylum Pact, that we're not actually going to be able to effectively enforce it? Speedier vetting of irregular arrivals, limits on people coming into the block, creating border detention centres. We just don't have the resources or the will or the people power to actually do any of that.
But that's where the government comes into it. They have to deal with these things. And, you know, the pact isn't going to be enforced in Ireland until June 2026. We need action much, much sooner than that. I mean, 2026 is 2 years away. I mean, can we continue the way things are going for two more years? I don't think so. So long before the pact comes in, we need to tackle the absolute mess that's been created in this country. And as I said, I've worked within the international protection system. The delays are, it's just unbelievable. Even when they speak about safe countries, people are still waiting years and years for decisions. So it's unfair on the asylum seekers to be waiting for that long within the system. It's unfair. I suppose it ties up accommodation when there's no decisions being made. Then, you know, that adds on to the housing crisis. There's so much more that we could be doing if there was more proactivity. Okay. There is a surplus in government. We could be investing a lot more in the international protection system. It's about political will, and it's about political will at a national level. The pact is going to be in 2 years' time. We need to act sooner than that, and our government needs to sort out the system. It's absolutely shambolic.
One of the other issues you mentioned that you're passionate about is climate action. We know previous research from the Environmental Protection Agency has shown that the Irish public cares, it does care about climate change. At least 85% of people are worried about it. But a recent poll from the first edition in series of polls from Ireland Thinks and the Journal in February found that satisfaction with the EU's response to the climate crisis is not high. 40% of the Irish public seem indifferent to the EU's response. So are they right? And if they are, how would you change or improve what the EU is doing to address climate change? And also, particularly in relation to farmers who have issues with how the EU is addressing climate action, and particularly the ask of them, which they feel is too great, or certainly greater than the other sectors have been asked to do.
Absolutely. I mean, look, we have an obligation to tackle climate change, and we do have targets to reach. But we also have to see it as an opportunity. I suppose speaking about investment first, and then I'll go on to farmers after that. But, you know, we can see it as an opportunity to invest in clean energy. We have so much potential in Ireland to have wind farms and solar farms and use tidal energy. You know, geopolitical risks, I suppose the Ukraine war has shown us how energy costs can increase massively. And we need to kind of, I suppose, rely more on ourselves within the European Union for our energy rather than going outside of it. Now, Ireland, I believe, has massive potential. And if I were elected, I would be pushing for new industries to be, investing in Ireland for clean and renewable energy. So I think there's opportunities there. Farmers then, absolutely, they need to be compensated for what they're being asked to do and actually what they're already doing. So, farmers are already doing so much to protect our environment. And the emissions, I suppose, they are being asked to reduce emissions. It is very, very difficult for them when they're trying to do their work, but also, deal with carbon tax and reducing emissions, on their farms. And the small farmers are being affected very badly. But I suppose what we need to do is ensure that subsidies and grants are available to compensate them for what they're being asked to do. And that is something, I suppose, in the new CAP, which will be renegotiated in the next few years and will be coming into force in 2028, we need to be looking at making sure that our farmers are protected, and that if they're being asked, to move, say, from traditional forms of agriculture to different types of farming, that they're being supported to do that. And there's also the potential for land to be used for woodlands. They need to be given proper grants for that. They need to, for solar power, they can use their land for solar farms as well. These are all things that, are possible down the line, but they need to be supported more. And I can see, I was at the Irish Farmers Association meeting in Fermoy there the week before last, and there is a lot of anger in the country amongst farmers about how they're being treated. And I would absolutely be prioritising that if I was elected.